right, let's stop down here for a second. We've got Reverend Greg Livingston in the studio with us, and the Reverend is the Reverend who's behind the idea of shutting down Lakeshore Drive tomorrow as part of a protest against violence in Chicago, Let's just so I understand, what time of day are we going to be doing this, and is it northbound, southbound, or both? Do you have an idea yet?
Well, we go to stage at 4 p.m. at Belmont and Lakeshore Drive, and depending on the size of the crowd, because I have no idea, we're definitely going to be blocking northbound Lakeshore Drive at Belmont, but we've had a lot of discussions already about the southbound side, too, so it depends on who shows up.
Now, are you going to march to Wrigley Field before the night game? Was that part of the idea here?
Yeah, after we block Lakeshore Drive, we're going to march to Wrigley Field, Belmont to Clark, and Clark to Addison.
Okay. And now, were you intending to enter Wrigley Field?
I don't know.
There was talk of that.
I don't want to be coy, but...
Yes.
Well, there has been some coyness. So is there a surprise we should expect tomorrow? Is that what... Because it seems like when organizers like yourself are asked about the plans for tomorrow, it isn't always specific.
We're kind of like a football team. We're huddling. We can't tell the defense everything we're doing.
Meaning the police department and the mayor's office. Because you are protesting them. You want them to resign, the police superintendent and the mayor.
Yeah, we need some new blood.
How does doing this get to that result, do you think?
It's about gaining leverage, making a demand, you know, making people uncomfortable. We're August 2nd, you know, tomorrow, 4 o'clock p.m. at Belmont and Lakeshore Drive. But on August 5th, it's the 52nd anniversary of Dr. King's march through Marquette Park, where he was hit in the head with a brick, very hostile environment. And I guarantee you, there was no strategizing with Richard J. Daley, nor strategizing with the police department about that particular march. And then on September 2nd, it's the 52nd anniversary of Dr. King's march through Cicero, Illinois, over the brutal beating death of a teenager named, black teenager named Jerome Huey. And again, that was a very difficult piece. But the idea behind it, which he got from Gandhi, actually, because Gandhi was marching against the British crown. That's a whole other ballgame right there, mm-hmm. is about biology teaches us that mutation requires irritation. And so for change. So human beings, typically, we won't do anything sometimes until we're pushed or made uncomfortable. And so it's the idea is that we are all intrinsically good. It's just that for some of us, we have to be reawakened or made aware that, you know, I always tell my church, Ro, that we're all just above ground dirt and we eat dirt to stay out of the dirt. And so Chicago has been intentionally segregated. And so those of us that were able to make it out of the hood, we saw these things. So what do we do? Do we stay away or do we go back? So I went back. I've passed into some of the most challenging areas in the city, but also, like Dr. King taught in Gandhi, for the folk that don't know, they need to know. Because some people want to help, they just don't know how.
So how could they help?
Well, by joining us, because we need leverage against Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And the reason I say that, we can talk about reducing violence, but if we ignore the corrupt tree that produces it, we're going to just take that fruit off and some more is going to grow. And so Emanuel and Johnson did not start the corruption in the city, but we cannot allow them to perpetuate it.
But what corruption are you fighting against?
Rahm's been sitting on $500 million in HUD funds for low-income housing, and you know there's no political will to use that to help people. And he has $1 billion, you know, slush fund. I'm sorry, TIF, and his developer cronies, they get that money. Secondly, my old classmate, Eddie Johnson, we attended grammar school and high school together. It's not the easiest thing in the world for me to do, but we have our big boy pants on.
So let's stick with that for a second, because I mean, we can argue about TIF money and you know, the budgeting and all that sort of thing, and that's certainly going to be in the political environment ecosystem here as you know, we head toward the mayor's race after the primaries here. So I think the fall into the winter is that conversation
to be had.
And for the
people that need housing.
Right.
Now.
And that's to be had.
Yes.
But the question about the Chicago Police Department, mm-hmm. and Eddie Johnson, what do you think Eddie Johnson is doing wrong?
Well, he was illegitimately hired. You know, by law, taxpayer dollars, thousands of dollars were spent for a national search, and then there were three rigorously vetted candidates who were basically, you know, reformers. And they were law enforcement executives who were known as reformers. Rahm didn't want pushback from these kind of candidates. So he suspends the law and city council for one day.
You mean Emanuel?
Yeah, Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel, okay.
He suspends, you know, the law and city council for one day, and he picks out a man who didn't apply for the job, had no interest in the position, for the second largest police department in the United States. Then my alumnus says, you know, I've never seen discrimination in the Chicago Police Department. I'm like, Eddie, you send officers to racial sensitivity training. And that's what it became brutally and starkly apparent to me, that my alumnus, Eddie Johnson, has no spine and the mayor has no heart.
But let's get back, Reverend, to the part where you're going to go the north side, and I get it. You're doing that purposefully because you want to go to areas the people who may not be something they think about every day, and you're trying to make them, in your words, uncomfortable.
Redistribute the pain. Can I say this? Redistribute the pain, the anguish, and the dormant hope.
And I'm there with you. But then from that point forward,
but it's a traffic tie up. That's not death.
Okay,
but make them mad.
Disrupt the corrupt.
Okay, but maybe they are mad, and maybe they already feel like they would like to see change in all these areas, you say. And let's sure. go back to your premise that people are good at their right. heart, and they want that too.
Yes.
So, but maybe they also feel powerless in this system. How are they going to change? What is it you're going to try to get these drivers by stopping them in traffic and disrupting this before a night game and the whole north
right.
side? How are you going to get those people on your side?
Well, typically in challenged and disadvantaged areas, the cries and complaints are not heard. They're neglected. But in better off areas, the cries and complaints are heard and attended to. So we got to bring the suffering to where the cries and complaints are heard. And I want to bring Southsiders and Westsiders of people that may not have had the best in life born into it, to show them what a really well-funded neighborhood looks like, to show them what it's like to be around an optimally run police district and officers, so they can go back to their neighborhoods with a new standard of dissatisfaction. Say, you know what? That's not cool. Or on the flip side, a great experiment would be, let the folk from Lakeview and Wrigleyville march in Inglewood, march in Austin, come there and show us how to do it. You know, I mean, because we're just one body here. Chicago is one body. And if one part of the body is sick and we ignore and neglect that, guess what? The other parts of the body are going to suffer too, which is one reason you see more violence in areas that heretofore was considered to be safe.
Well, let me ask you, as a basic policing issue, if you have...
And poverty.
Okay. But let's just look at this from the perspective of, you know, day in, day out, night. Mm-hmm. We're in the summer season.
Yes.
As it's become known now, the killing season. Mm-hmm. How offensive is that, right?
That's where
we live. We live in a time and in a city in which this is an expected thing.
Mm-hmm. 300+ homicides so far this year.
You can have police officers roll up on a corner where you're going to have, half a dozen to a dozen young men standing around mm-hmm. on a corner, and they can disperse that corner. And then 15 minutes later, there's a shooting and five people get hit on a corner, right? I mean, that happens a couple times a month now in this summer. How do we address this from the supply side, if you use to use that expression? How do we get to the hearts and the minds of these young men to not be to see something else in life other than trying to kill each other over a piece of turf
that they don't own?
Right. Correct.
Yes.
They perceive to own it.
Sure.
They perceive to control it,
mm-hmm.
For the guys who are running them. And now, increasingly so, these are kids running kids. Mm-hmm. You know, like the gang hierarchies, a lot of them are either dead or in prison. And
renegades.
So you got kids that are, you got 15-year-olds being run by 18-year-olds or being run by 22-year-olds.
It's rough, man.
Right? So how do we get to that? Let's talk about real solutions here in terms of talking about the... You know, from the supply of folks who have got guns and have ill intent and malign intent against each other,
mm-hmm.
how do we get them to pay attention to taking life, making life sacred, to making this notion that killing another kid who looks like them but isn't of them,
mm-hmm.
based on whatever perceived, you know, gang affiliation, or just, you know, they're mad at him about something.
Sure.
How do we get to them to stop that?
Firstly, you know what? Part of the difficult work is to inspire the uninspired, inspire the jaded, inspire the broken. There ain't nothing easy about that at all. Trying to perform psychic surgery on someone just so you can drop a right seed in them. I'm telling you, when they're born into this world and they're born in debt, if you will, you know, everything is against them already. I mean, I'm just telling you from my experience of pastoring, it is difficult. It's just like the police say, I'm a pro-police guy, but they tell people, you want to know what my job is like? Do a ride-along.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you show me how to break up that domestic case, right? Husband and wife fighting, because when I grab the husband, guess what? My partner has to watch the wife. Even though she just got hit,
right.
She's going to go after him, me. Because that's just the craziness of our reality, right? And so it's really about having people with boots on the ground, those that are willing to have skin in the game. And that is the beauty of the King marches, of the Gandhi marches. It gives people an opportunity, which is what this is about, to create a platform where people can say, I want to do something. I don't know how, but I want the synergy and the creativity that can emerge by me doing this. Because when people feel angry, for me, anger is just a mask for pain. It's a way of, don't make me think about this, or don't make me think what I should be doing. Because if it was me in that position, I would want somebody better off to help me.
So what is the help?
Well, one of the things, you know, we want to do, you know, we have demands, real demands. So let me say this. Tomorrow morning at 9:00, we're going to be at City Hall, right? And again, we're doing the Kingsian piece, all right? King, on July 10th, 1966, took 36,000 people from Soldier Field to Richard J. Daley's City Hall. And his namesake, Martin Luther, you know, the Church of Wittenberg, mm-hmm. 95 Theses, he penned his demands through the City Hall door. And we're doing that tomorrow. We don't have 36,000, but we have faith leaders, and we're going to do that on the fifth floor.
And what are your demands?
Well, demands are, one, we need to repurpose those schools that were closed. Because when those schools were closed, it cost the city, the taxpayers, $1 million a day to maintain those closed schools.
How would you like them repurposed?
Well, you know what? I've talked to Ronner and Rom about getting these big companies like Google and Amazon. I'm glad they're here. But they're here on tax incentives and tax abatements. And so they're being subsidized by taxpayers. But let's turn these closed buildings into digital training centers. The kids born in the 21st century, technology is normative to them. So for the other people in the neighborhood, they get jobs in there, you know, janitors or whatever, and it helps to restabilize the neighborhood. Nothing stops a bullet like a job. So imagine if Google, which is cash rich, and these other companies that are cash rich, if they just invested in these buildings and put these things in there, all of a sudden, Austin becomes a little India. Inglewood becomes a little India. You don't have to outsource it anymore. You can insource this work. You know, we have to be creative and have vision, but if you don't have the political will to help people who need help, then nothing gets done until, you know, quick story. My country granddaddy had a hound dog, you know, and he's sitting on the porch with his friend, and the dog is just whining and crying. And his friend says, why is that dog crying like that? He said, because he's lying on a nail. He says, why doesn't he move? He said, it doesn't hurt bad enough yet. And that's human nature. Many times we will not do anything until it becomes so uncomfortable. We want Rahm's friends, the folks he listens to call him and say, look, do not have these people come through my place anymore. We need leverage.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't that just sort of add, you know, these, what do you mean by these people?
The huddled masses.
Right. Aren't we sort of playing into what is already one of the bigger problems that we have in the city, is this basic racial misunderstanding of each other?
You know, racial misunderstanding. Let me say this. When people talk to me about American racism, I always say, you know, that blacks have never crafted or drafted legislation to restrict the citizenship of white people in this country. Never. You can't think of one law we ever made to restrict white citizenship. Flip the script. So when we talk about violence and racism, we were brought here violently. We were kept in slavery violently. And so people think, you know, I happen to think that you can affect someone's DNA and genetics through outside external forces. You know, so then it took a long time for us just to get to this point. But America is a violent country. You know, I always find the hypocrisy of going to a Schwarzenegger movie, a whatever movie, and we celebrate the boom, boom, kill, kill, and then we walk out and say, we don't like violence. That's a lie. Violence is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah, but violence on the streets, though, is not something that I think people, you know, understand the difference between
guys. Guys learn how to be lovers watching movies. Why can't they learn how to be killers too?
Yeah, but do you really think it's the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies?
No, I'm saying
where
there's a level of
14-year-old kid's gonna level a gun against another 14-year-old kid in this city. Do you think that has to do with the Schwarzenegger movie, or do you think it has to do with some other beef that's going on between those two people?
No, I'm just saying that America has a legacy of violence. You know, when I went down to Stateville, the guy took us on a tour, and he said, we need a shipment of 300 boys a week to keep this place going. So they're down there working for pennies on the dollar for Microsoft, Dell, Levi's, and stuff. But when they get out, they can't get a job at the same companies doing what they were doing in jail because they have a background.
Listen, this is a good idea.
The system is so backwards. And so what we have to do is the American way. We got to make changes, man. The British are coming. No, y'all ain't.
All right. Well, maybe they are before this is all said and done. All right, Reverend, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Reverend.
All right, be safe out there and hope everybody is safe out there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, man.
All right. Let's check in now and find out what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour. Here's Kim.
Roe former President Obama put out a list today of endorsements for the upcoming midterm elections.
Violetta?